some of those that he got to preach to and teach his own gospel message would be Philip the Evangelist. Think about that. And so meanwhile, what did Luke? Well, Luke didn't hang out with Paul in prison all the time. Luke was there in Jerusalem, a place he'd heard about all his life. He got to meet the apostles and different ones. If you go to Luke 1, Luke is writing a letter back to Theophilus, a primary prominent man in Antioch, Syria. His letter, gospel that we call Luke, and his what he writes there in Acts were both written to Theophilus. I'm going to read the first four verses in Luke 1. For as much as many have taken in hand, and you could say taken a pen in hand, to set forth an order, in chronological order, if you will think of it that way, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us. Unto who? Under Luke. Which from the beginning of the ministry of Christ, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, from the beginning when John the Baptist came on the scene, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, this prominent man in Antioch, Syria, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Who instructed him of these things? It would have been Paul and Barnabas and different teachers they had there in Antioch, Syria. So Luke is filling in some additional information. And Luke writes a lot of things we call Lukeisms. They're unique, okay? He's the only one that makes mention of it. And today, in our studies, we come to the 24th chapter in Luke. We're going to talk about the Emmaus disciples. That was a long introduction, I know, but it kind of catches everybody up to our thinking. Now, we pointed out last couple weeks that in Matthew 28, in the Schofield's Reference Bible, at the bottom of the page, he gives a list of the order of appearances of Jesus on the day of his resurrection. Fourth on the list is unto these two Emmaus disciples. You will not read hardly anything about these Emmaus disciples in any of the other gospel records or in any other scriptures, except in Luke and a brief mention in Mark, which we'll get to. So, first of all, on the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared unto Mary Magdalene. Secondly, he'd appeared to the women returning from visiting the empty tomb. Third, and this information is only told by Luke and by Paul, that he appeared unto Peter. And we'll talk about that in snippets as we go along. And then fourth is these Emmaus disciples. We'll get there in a second. Again, Luke is the only one to tell this story of the Emmaus disciples. And it begins in Luke 24:13. And it goes through about 35, maybe. So that's big majority of the 24th chapter of Luke deals with the two Emmaus disciples. And there's a little bit of background information I'll give you before we dive into it. We'll read the whole thing and then we'll go back over it. The village that is called Emmaus is only mentioned one time in Scripture. Another unique thing by Luke. And according to Smith's Bible Dictionary, Emmaus means warm baths, maybe for hot springs reasons, who knows. The actual location of the village of Emmaus remains to be identified. It was a village. I don't know how big villages are. I've seen places in Wyoming where the population was 10. I would call that a village, okay? Probably population nothing now, you know. But, and so that might be the way Emmaus was too. But Luke gives us a distance. It was about 70 furlongs from Jerusalem, which is a little more than 7 miles. Well, when Scott gets up in the morning and takes his morning jog, he goes about 7 to 8 miles. No, he doesn't. But I know people that do. So it takes a couple hours to do that. You know, at my speed, it takes longer. And I don't do that either. Jackson's Dictionary of Proper Names has Emmaus meaning in earnest longing. Probably that meaning comes from what the Emmaus disciples said to each other in Luke 23:32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? It shows an earnest longing to hear more of the word of God. And the word of God, keep in mind, is Jesus Christ himself, according to Revelation 19:13. This definition of earnest longing would agree with Smith's definition, for the burning in their receptive hearts would be similar to a warm bath while he opened unto them the scriptures. And again, no doubt Luke got his eyewitness information concerning the two Emmaus disciples from a guy named Cleophas. He was identified in Luke 24:18 as being one of the two Emmaus disciples. And that should give us several more clues about this guy. Obviously, he was a follower of the Lord. And we'll talk about him quite frequently here as we move along. Cleophas' name means renowned father, or of a renowned father. And another meaning of his name is famed of all. And by the time Luke got to interview him, he was famous. He was famed of all. He was famous for being an Emmaus disciple. You know, you want some information, Luke, on what took place? You got to talk to this guy named Cleophas. Because the Lord personally appeared to him on the day of his resurrection. So by the time Luke got to interview this famed of all eyewitness Cleophas, it would have been 25 to 30 years after Jesus' resurrection. And yet, to Cleophas, the events of the afternoon of Jesus' resurrection would have been as fresh in his mind as if they happened yesterday. That was the most probably important day of his life, if you think about it. So, we must realize that when Jesus appeared unto the two Emmaus disciples, Cleophas being one of them, this event was a turning point in their lives, a highlight, you know, a day they would never forget. And then it should become obvious to us that Cleophas continued walking with the Lord and was more than willing to share his testimony with our Gentile brother Luke all these years later. And of course, Luke was there, pen in hand, ready to write down what he said. So here's another Lukeism. Cleophas' name is found only one time in Scripture. And so that, you can add that to a long list of unique things that only Luke mentions. It is quite possible, and to my way of thinking, probable, that these two Emmaus disciples were among the 120 who received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost some 50 days later. There was not just 12 people there receiving the Holy Ghost. There was 120. And, I mean, where were they going to go? They'd heard so many things Jesus told them, and I'm sure they wanted this. And one of the functions of the Holy Ghost, as you know, is to guide us into all truth. Much the same as Jesus opened up the scriptures unto these two Emmaus disciples. On your own, study again John 16:12-15 to see some of the functions of the Holy Ghost. Now let's read the story starting in Luke 24:13, and then we'll commentate on it a little bit more. And we'll read through verse 35. Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, that's 7+ miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden. That means they did not know who he was. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And Jesus, he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not, but him they saw not. Then said he, Jesus, unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to the other, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. 7.5 miles or whatever it was, wasn't so far now. They got some exciting news. And they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, and them that were with them, there was more than just the 11, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Simon is another name for Peter. He's also called Cephas in Scripture. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, we'll stop there. But this story that Luke writes of the two Emmaus disciples is ripe with many sermons. So, don't be surprised as you study the story on your own that the Holy Ghost might reveal some of these deep thoughts to your own heart. Again, it seems that over 40% of the 24th chapter of Luke revolves around this beautiful story of the two Emmaus disciples. Two is the number of sufficient witness, sufficient testimony. And Jesus had told his disciples in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Is that the confines of only in a church service? No. How about if you're in a car? How many of you are carrying on a conversation? Talking about the Lord? Well, two and three, he's there with you. You're having your own church service. This is the simplest form of a local church, and there's no limitations as to location. And so think about it like this, the story of the two Emmaus disciples walking along. We find on a walking assembly of two. Okay, they're in deep fellowship about Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the events that had just happened in Jerusalem the preceding week, that Passion Week. The two Emmaus disciples were also among those who earlier in the day were told by the women returning from the sepulcher that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. And so we find in Luke 24:13-15, that these two Emmaus disciples, after being told this, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and they communed together and reasoned. So again, this was a walking church service on the first day of the week. And it seems that these two disciples lived at Emmaus and had gone to Jerusalem to attend the Jewish festivities of the Jewish Passover, as did most of the Jews in that day. And while they went on their way from Jerusalem back to Emmaus, talking together, fellowshipping, one of the meanings of Emmaus was in earnest longing, fellowshipping in earnest longing of all these things which had just happened, we note that the topic of their conversation was current events concerning what had happened to Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that the topic too many times of what goes on in churches? Current events. Yeah, the more important topic is Jesus. And we see in verse 15 that they communed together and reasoned, meaning that they were absorbed in their serious debate as they were in this serious discussion. You ever seen two Jews communicate with one another? I know, I think Arthur probably has witnessed this more than the rest of us, but, you know, you go to New York City and you see two Jews, they're very animated. They use their hands a lot. And I'm not singling out every Jew that does this, but they do. Yeah, you can tell what they're talking about. You can pull up behind some people and tell what's going on by the way their heads are moving around, their fingers are pointing, and you know, you can almost tell what the conversation is. Okay, so as we move along in our story here, the context in Luke 24 reveals that these two Emmaus disciples obviously didn't know real well their scriptures concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think that's more common than you think. Most people don't know their scriptures. And we can correct that, but we have to do that on our own. The risen Savior, Jesus, unbeknownst to them, joined them on their journey. And in Mark 16:12, it says here, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's the only other reference that's made to these Emmaus disciples. Luke 24:15 says Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now think about this for a moment. As we walk with the Lord, he draws near to us. Enoch, we know, walked with God. When you walked with God, he talked with God. And it took a while, but it got to the point that one day God just took him to heaven to continue this conversation as he walked with the Lord. And Enoch, relatively speaking to his peers, was a young man, you know, okay? He lived 365 years. That's a lot. But back in that day, it wasn't. But how many days are there in a year? 365, except for leap year. How many days in a year are available to us to walk with the Lord? Every one of them. That's one of the lessons we learned from Enoch. In James 4:8, we are told, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Well, you want to get closer to God? Draw nigh to God. He'll get draw nigh to you. In Psalm 73:28, we are told, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So we find our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, drew near and overtook the two Emmaus disciples in the form of a man, a stranger to them at this point in time, and he joined them on their journey. Think about it. Think of our walking assembly of two men. Christ, literally here, was in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Sure. So this traveling church service continued, if you will, as they continued their journey towards Emmaus. And Jesus, being the heart examiner who he is, knew their hearts' earnest longing, that meaning of Emmaus. Their earnest longing was to take a warm bath, another meaning of Emmaus, in the cleansing word of God. Jesus himself, being the word of God, would oblige them on their journey. But first, he had to ask them some attention-getting questions. You want to get somebody's attention? Their mind's wandering off, they're while they're texting or doing something else. Ask them a question. They gotta go, me? Yeah. Yeah, right? You know how it is. So he says unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? Wow. He picked up a lot from just their communications, just observing their communications, their gesturing. And they were sad. They were sad. They were moping along, kind of lollygag heads probably down, shaking their heads like, what happened? You know, what has happened? What's going on here? And so their actions spoke louder than the words, that they were of a heavy countenance, and they outwardly displayed a sorrowful heart, and their steps were sluggish, totally lacking in any spring in their steps. So we see that the Lord truly knows our deepest sorrow. He feels our pain and wants us to know he is our help and shield, as Psalms 33:20 tells us. We read also in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I hope we know this. Boy, there's been a lot of that going around my place recently, with Sue and myself, with the troubles that we've been facing. In Hebrews 4:16, and that's one of our famous go-to scriptures, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? In time of need. Ever had a time of need? Ever not had a time of need? As you get older, you have more times of need than you have anything else, right? Okay, we have a lot of needs. So we're there all the time at the throne of grace, and he answers our prayers. So back in Luke 24, Cleophas, boy, he gives a long-winded answer as to why their demeanor was so sad. Cleophas says in verse 18, answering, said unto him, what a way to address the Lord. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And Jesus plays along with him and he says, what things? And when he says, what things? Jesus was really getting them to verbalize their thoughts and concerns. However, he already knew their thoughts afar, you know. We find in Psalms 139, 2, thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Wow. In Luke 24, 19, we continue, it says, and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, what did they tell Jesus? They stated here that they knew Jesus of Nazareth as a prophet, indeed in word before God and all the people, and had in their hearts hoped that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Their thinking was, we hoped and expected that Jesus was the Messiah, the king who would have delivered the nation Israel from the Romans. But now their hopes were dashed because today is the third day since these things were done, 3 days since Jesus was crucified and died right before their very eyes. They seemed to have given up all for lost and had come to the conclusion in their own thinking that Jesus was not the Messiah as they had hoped. And as they discussed this with each other, they found many things concerning recent events that they could not reason or explain. And they were now further perplexed and astonished at what the women at the sepulcher had just told them. And they are confessing to Jesus, just like the Apostle John wrote in John 20, verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Cleophas goes on to say in verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, the sepulcher being empty, but they saw him not. And so Brother Hawkins in his study book on Luke here noted, they should have been elated that he who was dead is risen again. It is the truth of which they, as well as we, must be fully convinced. And they were not convinced at this point in time. That's why they were sad. That's why they were moping along, trudging along. How many more miles we got to go to get to Emmaus? We read earlier in Mark 16:9, that would have been last week, I think. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. This is an unbelieving bunch of disciples that Jesus had, you know, that hadn't, they believed not. You find this pattern here. And now we find here in Luke 24 that these two Emmaus disciples were among the disciples who believed not. They didn't believe Jesus is risen from the dead. They thought that was the end of that, you know. And so this is exactly why Jesus had appeared unto these Emmaus disciples in the first place, to open their eyes as to who he was. And guess what? He would reveal himself to them through the scriptures. How does he reveal himself to us? Through the scriptures. Let's see, where did I leave my Bible? I had it here last Sunday. Somebody moved my Bible. It was here last Sunday. That's not the way we want to be. And I've known people like that. I left my Bible right here on this shelf, and it's gone. Well, why don't you have it at home with you? Why aren't you using it? Why aren't you reading it? Why aren't you studying it? What are you feeding on? We'll get to the rest of this story next time, Lord willing. They got the bell fixed.